Okay, I'm Tom. I'm an alcoholic. In order for us to be done before dinner, we need to stay on schedule. So this is class two. A Eskimo story. A fellow is sitting talking to his sponsor about the second step. He tells his sponsor, "I just don't believe there is a God. I gave him a chance to prove himself to me. I just don't believe there is a God." His sponsor replies, "You gave him a chance? Just what kind of chance did you give him?" The newcomer replies, "I was lost up in the snow fields of Alaska. I knew there was no way out. So I just looked up and said, 'God, I don't believe you are really up there, but if you are, here's your chance. Save me.'" The sponsor, looking rather incredulous, says, "Well, then, how can you say there is no God? You are here." The newcomer replies, "Oh, come on. God didn't save me. Some Eskimo came along." And by the way, here's some more food for thought. The big book doesn't need to be rewritten. It needs to be reread.
Good afternoon, James Alcoholic. We are going to take our second trip back into AA history, back to the 40s when the recovery rate was 75%. To relive the days when people took the steps in 5 1-hour classes. This is the second class based on the pamphlet from September 1944. The pamphlet objective was to present the 12 steps right out of the book titled Alcoholics Anonymous, so that each new person would be sponsored to and find the spiritual solution to the illness of alcoholism. In review, this is what we discovered.
From page 45.
You're the reader.
Yes, I'm waiting. So everyone gets to page 45.
Page 45, guys, girls, everybody. Sorry.
Page 45. Lack of power. That was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live. It had to be a power greater than ourselves. Obviously. But where and how were we to find this power?
We also established where the power is from page 55.
We found the great reality deep within us. In the last analysis, it is only there that he may be found.
So the question that needed answered is, how do we find this power? Step two, tell us how. Let's listen as Tom reads step number two from the 1944 pamphlet.
Step number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Our drinking experience has shown two conditions.
Number one,
that we stayed away from the normal social side of life. Our minds became confused and we strayed away from the normal mental side of life.
Number two,
an abnormal mental condition is certainly not sanity in the accepted sense of the word. We have acquired or developed a mental disease. Our study of AA shows that,
point A,
in the mental or tangible side of life, we have lost touch with or ignored or have forgotten the spiritual values that give us the dignity of man as differentiated from the animal. We have fallen back upon the material things of life, and these have failed us. We have been groping in the dark.
Point B.
No human agency, no science or art has been able to solve the alcoholic problem. So we turn to the spiritual for guidance. Therefore, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, and we must believe with a great faith. Let's open our books to page 25, last paragraph. And here the book gives us two alternatives.
And
just say that.
Okay, page 25, last paragraph. Chapter 2, there is a solution.
If you are as seriously alcoholic as we were, we believe there is no middle-of-the-road solution. We were in a position where life was becoming impossible. And if we had passed into the region from which there is no return through human aid, we had but two alternatives.
One
was to go on to the bitter end, blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation as best we could.
Two,
to accept spiritual help. This we did because we honestly wanted to and were willing to make the effort.
At this point in the recovery process, all we need is a desire, some willingness. That is a willingness to reconsider our position about life. Let's turn to page 44, look for line 13.
Page 44, line 13, chapter 4, We Agnostics. Everybody on page 44, line 13?
Yes.
Okay.
To be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. But it isn't so difficult. About half our original fellowship were exactly that type. At first, some of us tried to avoid the issue, hoping against hope we were not true alcoholics. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life, or else. Perhaps it is going to be that way with you.
We have a choice: find a spiritual basis of life or else. We don't always find this choice acceptable, but it's hard to see, or we don't always want to follow this spiritual path. There is no middle-of-the-road solution. Now, let's take a look at the spiritual solution. Go to page 46, line 15.
Page 46, line 15, halfway down the page.
We found that as soon as we were able to lay aside prejudice and express even a willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves, we commenced to get results, even though it was impossible for any of us to fully define or comprehend that power, which is God. Much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with Him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who try to seek Him. To us, the realm of spirit is roomy, broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men. When, therefore, we speak to you of God, we mean your own conception of God. This applies, too, to other spiritual expressions which you find in this book.
We don't have to know everything about this power. We just have to believe, or even be willing to believe, in this power. There must be something instead of ourselves that can or will put us in a position to live life and enjoy it. Consider this. When it comes to using power to help us in our everyday living, most of us don't or can't fully comprehend the power of common household electrical lighting. But we don't sit around in the dark until we figure it all out, do we? Go to page 48, line 7.
Page 48, line 7.
You ready? Mm-hmm. Faced with alcoholic destruction, We soon became as open-minded on spiritual matters as we had tried to be on other questions. In this respect, alcohol was a great persuader. It finally beat us into a state of reasonableness.
Once we realized that all we had to look forward to was alcoholic destruction of the spiritual path, the path became a lot easier to take. Let's look at the reason for taking this spiritual path. Turn to page 50, last paragraph.
Page 50, last paragraph.
Here are thousands of men and women, worldly indeed. They flatly declare that since they have come to believe in a power greater than themselves, to take a certain attitude toward that power, and to do certain simple things, there has been a revolutionary change in their way of living and thinking. In the face of collapse and despair, in the face of the total failure of their human resources, they found that a new power, peace, happiness, and sense of direction flowed into them. This happened soon after they wholeheartedly met a few simple requirements.
If we were not convinced yet, let's look at where we were. An honest appraisal of our alcoholic lives. Go to page 52, line 15.
Page 52, line 15.
We were having trouble with personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional natures. We were a prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be a real help to other people.
This reads like the definition of a dry drunk. Let's continue. Beginning with the next paragraph, same page.
When we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did.
Our idea did not work, but the God idea did. Let's continue reading. Page 53, second paragraph.
Page 53, second paragraph.
When we became alcoholics, crushed by self-imposed crisis, we could not postpone or evade. We had to fearlessly face the proposition that either God is everything or else He is nothing. God either is or He isn't. What was our choice to be?
Step two. This is our choice. Now, notice the timeline for step two. We could not postpone or evade. Notice the requirement for step two. We had to fearlessly face the proposition that either God is everything or He is nothing. God either is or He isn't. Keep in mind, though, your own conception of God. Go back to page 47, second paragraph.
Page 47, second paragraph.
We need to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself?
And here we have the second step promise.
As soon as a man can say that he does believe, or is even willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built.
Here is step two. One short question to consider and then answer. Let's take step two together, as precisely shown to us right out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is step two. Yes or no. Do you believe, or are you willing to believe in a power greater than yourself? As a group, let's take step two. We can do this by repeating the following statement. Yes, I do believe in a power greater than myself. Let's take step two together. Have the group repeat the sentence together. That is step two. For now, but remember. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm willing to believe in a power greater than myself.
Yes.
For now, okay, but remember the second step promise.
Okay. As soon as a man can say that he does believe or is even willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built.
Let's move on to step three. But before we study from the big book, let's listen to the pamphlet.
Step number three. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. In the first step, we learned that we had lost the power of choice and had to make a decision.
Let's consider these 4 points. Point number one.
What decision could we make better than to...
A, turn our very will over to God, realizing that our own use of our own will had resulted in trouble. B, as in the Lord's Prayer, you must believe and practice, thy will be done. Point number two.
God as we understand Him.
Point number three.
Religion is a word we do not use in AA. We refer to a member's relation to God as spiritual. Religion is a form of worship, not the worship itself.
Point number four.
If a man cannot believe in God, he can certainly believe in something greater than himself. If he cannot believe in a power greater than himself, he is a rather hopeless egotist. Go to page 60, line 13, for step three.
Page 60, line 13, chapter 5, How It Works. Just follow along, moving down the page.
Our description of the alcoholic.
Which is the chapter, the doctor's opinion, Bill's story.
The chapter to the agnostic.
Which is about step two.
And our
own
personal adventures before and after
we came to AA.
Make clear three pertinent ideas.
Step one. A.
That we were alcoholics and could not manage our own lives.
The spiritual principle of self-honesty. Step 2. B.
That probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism.
And step 2. C.
That God could and would if He were sought.
The spiritual principle of hope.
Being convinced.
Of what? The three pertinent ideals. A, B, and C. The timeline says,
we were at step three.
And the explanation of step three reads,
that we decided to turn our will and our life over to God as we understood Him. Just what do we mean by that, and just what do we do?
Here we have a requirement.
The first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self will can hardly be a success. On that basis, we are almost always in collision with something or somebody, even though our motives are good.
If we continue to read, we look at this person who lives by self-propulsion, the actor who wants to run the whole show. And reading further, this person is described at length, the self-centered person. For an in-depth look at the problem and an honest appraisal of what our position must be, if we want to continue on this spiritual path to recovery, go to page 62, first paragraph, and here the book tells us that alcoholism comes in people, not in bottles.
Page 62, first paragraph.
Okay. Selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our troubles.
driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity, we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us, seemingly without provocation. But we invariably find that at some time in the past, we have made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt.
So we were professional victims. Okay, everybody agreed to that. So let's continue. Next paragraph. And here the books tell us our problem occurred from the inside out.
So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves. And the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot, though he usually doesn't think so. Above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of the selfishness. We must, or it kills us. God makes that possible. And there often seems no way of entirely getting rid of self without his aid. Many of us had moral and philosophical convictions galore, but we could not live up to them, even though we'd like to. Neither could we reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing or trying in our own power. We had to have God's help.
Continuing with the last paragraph on this same page, the book tells us of some more requirements for step three.
This is how and why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that hereafter, in this drama of life, God was going to be our director. He is the principal, we are his agents, he is the father, and we are his children.
And next, we have one of the many promises that are in this book.
Most good ideas are simple, and the concept of this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arch through which we pass to freedom.
Let's continue reading. Page 63, line 1, and again, more promises.
Page 63, line 1.
When we sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer, being all-powerful. He provided what we needed. If we kept close to him and performed his work well, established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves, thank you, our little plans and designs. More and more, we became less interested in seeing what we could contribute to life. As we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, as we became conscious of his presence, we began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, or the hereafter. We were reborn.
And at the beginning of the next paragraph, we have a timeline to step three that reads,
we were now at step three.
Before we take step three, let's explore the precise instructions. Step three is a major turning point on this road to recovery. So, let's carefully examine step three, same page, line 20. The timeline is,
we thought well before taking this step, making sure that we were ready.
The requirement says
that we could at last abandon ourselves utterly to him.
The directions read,
we found it very desirable to take the spiritual step with an understanding person, such as our wife, best friend, or spiritual advisor.
Here we have a warning.
But it is better to meet God alone than with one who might misunderstand.
Let's continue with the direction.
The wording was, of course, quite optional so long as we expressed the idea of voicing it without reservation.
This is a third step promise.
This was only a beginning, though if honestly and humbly made, an effect, sometimes a very great one, was felt at once.
Let's take step three together, voicing it without reservation. We can take this step by repeating the prayer found on page 63, second paragraph. If you would like to say the prayer together, the timeline reads.
Page 63, second paragraph.
We were now at step three. Many of us said to our Maker, as we understood him.
Okay, we're going to all say it together. God, I offer myself to thee.
to bear with me, and do with me as thy will. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them, that release to those that may help. The power, thy love, and thy way of life, may I do thy will always.
That's it. That is step three. But this was only a beginning, a turning point. All we have done so far is made three decisions. Between me, myself, and I, the fact is that these three decisions were based upon reflection, suspicion, and surrender. These three conclusions took place in our minds. So all we have done in these first three steps is ruin our drinking. And set ourselves up for two realities. Number one, take the rest of the steps. Number two, live an alcoholic death. Let's summarize step one, two, and three.
In step one,
we decided to get honest with ourselves and make a mission to ourselves based upon the idea that we were alcoholics and could not manage our own lives.
In step two,
we decided to believe there is some hope for ourselves based upon the idea that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism and that God could and would if he was sought.
And in step three, being convinced of these pertinent ideas,
we decided to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. We do this based upon the ideal of faith in the AA program. Try doing these three steps on getting a driver's license.
Listen, people.
See what happens.
Step one.
Admit you need a license.
Step two.
Believe you can get one.
Step three.
Decide to get one. The results of these three steps, you still be taking the bus.
That's right.
The first three steps are 25% of nothing. The point is, it takes immediate action through the rest of the steps to conquer alcoholism. Let's listen to Tom as he read step four out of the 1944 pamphlet.
Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. The intent and purpose of this step is plain. All alcoholics have a definite need for a good self-analysis, a sort of self-appraisal. Other people have certainly analyzed us, appraised us, criticized us, and even judged us. It might be a good idea to judge ourselves calmly and honestly. We need inventory because...
Let's consider these two reasons. Reason number one.
Either our faults, weaknesses, defects of character are the cause of our drinking, or...
Reason two.
Our drinking has weakened our character and let us drift into a kinds of wrong action, wrong attitudes, wrong viewpoints. In either event, we obviously need an inventory, and the only kind of inventory to make is a good one. Moreover, the job is up to us. We created, or we let develop, all the anti-social actions that got us in wrong. So we have got to work it out. We must make out a list of our faults, and then we must do something about it. The inventory must be four things.
Four requirements. Requirement number one.
It must be honest. Why waste time fooling ourselves with a phony list? We have fooled ourselves for years. We tried to fool others, and now is a good time to look at ourselves squarely in the eye.
Requirement number two.
It must be searching. Why skip over a vital matter lightly and quickly? Our trouble is a grave mental disease. confused by screwy thinking. Therefore, we must search diligently and fearlessly to get at the truth of what is wrong with us. Just dig in and search.
Requirement number three.
It must be fearless. We must not be afraid. We might find things in our heart, mind, and soul that we will hate to discover. If we do find such things, they may be the root of our trouble.
Requirement number four.
It must be a moral inventory. Some, in error, think the inventory is a lot of unpaid debts, plus a list of unmade apologies. Our trouble goes much deeper. We will find the root of our troubles lie in resentment, fears, inconsideration, dishonesty, selfishness, and many other things. Laziness is an important one. In other words, we are making inventory of our character, our attitude toward others, our way of living. We are not preparing a financial statement. We will pay our bills all right because we cannot even begin to practice AA without honesty. Let's begin with the last paragraph, page 63. This is step four.
Page 63, last paragraph. We have another timeline and requirement. These are for step four.
Next, we launched out on a course of vigorous action. The first step of which is a personal house cleaning, which many of us had never attempted. Though our decision,
step three,
was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect.
And here we have a major timeline and an explanation to step four.
Unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and to be rid of the things in ourselves which have been blocking us. Our liquor was but a symptom. So we had to get down to causes and conditions. Therefore, we started upon a personal inventory. This was step four.
When the spiritual principles of courage here begin the direction for step four, let's continue. Line 18, same page.
First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup which caused our failure. Being convinced that self, manifested in various ways, was what had defeated us, we considered its common manifestations.
The common manifestation of self, or demonstration of self, or evidence of self, or proof of self, are
resentment,
which is wrong judgment,
fear,
which is wrong believing,
harms done, our own conduct over the years past,
which is wrong action. Let's continue. Last page, last paragraph, same page.
Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stem all forms of spiritual disease. For we have been not only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick.
This is the fourth step promise.
When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically.
This is how we recover from alcoholism. We find a God of our own understanding first. We do this through with and in the steps. We solve the alcoholism problem first. At its highest point, then we work out all of our other problems physically, socially, sexually, financially, etc. Here are the directions to resentment.
In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. We listed people, institutions, or principles with whom we were angry. We asked ourselves why we were angry.
Let's continue on page 65, line 3.
Page 65, line 3.
Here are more directions to the resentment inventory.
On our grudge list, we set opposite each name our injuries. Was it our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal or sex relations, which had been interfered with?
Go to the last paragraph on the same page, and here we have a requirement.
We went back through our lives. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty.
Let's continue. Go to page 67, line 14.
Page 67, line 14.
Referring to our list again, putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Though a situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person involved entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them. We placed them before us in black and white.
Some more requirements.
We admitted our wrongs honestly and were willing to set these matters straight.
Next paragraph, same page. We have another inventory.
Notice the word fear.
Skip a line.
This short word, fear, somehow touches about every aspect of our lives. It was an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. It set in motion trains of circumstances which brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve. But did not we ourselves set the ball rolling? Sometimes we think fear ought to be classed with stealing. It seems to cause more trouble.
Here are the directions for the fear inventory. Next paragraph.
We reviewed our fears thoroughly. We put them on paper, even though we had no resentment in connection with them. We asked ourselves why we had them.
Next, we have the direction for another inventory, our own conduct. There are many kinds of conduct, sex, financial, social, physical, mental, emotional. The list goes on and on. The books tell us what to do. Let's read page 69, line 12.
Page 69, line 12.
We reviewed our own conduct over the years past. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, or inconsiderate? Whom had we hurt? Did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? Where were we at fault? What should we have done instead? We got this all down on paper and looked at it.
There's a lot of fear and pain associated with the fourth step inventory. Fear and pain did not get you drunk. You had to drink alcohol to get drunk. No alcohol, no drunk. No action, no drunk. No action on taking the steps, no recovery. No sobriety. That's how it is. That is what it takes. Action, not feelings. Back in the 40s, people blasted through the steps, so the newcomer was just moving out of the problem and just getting a glimpse of the solution in step four. The newcomer was still living in all the pain of being alcoholic. The point is that there will be leftover that we forgot to list in step four. Don't beat yourself up wallowing in the past. You can deal with the leftover later in the step 10. While looking at them from the solution point of view, do the best you can, but move forward in the solution. Don't stop until you are finished with the fourth step. Go back to page 68, line 11.
Page 68, line 11.
For we are now on a different basis, the basis of trusting and relying upon God. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. We are in the world to play the role He assigns. Just to the extent that we do as we think He would have us and humbly rely on Him, does He enable us to match calamity with serenity.
If we have taken step one, two, and three, we are on a different basis. Step one, two, and three are in the past. They are finished. They are done. We use their spiritual principles, self-honesty, hope, and faith to muster enough courage to complete step four. Self-honesty plus hope plus faith equal courage, which just happened to be the fourth step spiritual principle. Principles that we practice in all our affairs. We are looking at step four from a different perspective. We can fill out these inventory without having to spend a lot of time worrying. Remember, we trust infinite God rather than our finite self. There you go. The direction, timeline, requirements, and prayer are in the big book. Page 6371 for step four. This form are based upon the direction that are in this big book. Use God, your sponsor, and the big book to complete the inventory process. It is quite simple to do. Just follow the directions. Answer the questions and do one column at a time. I'm going to show the form.
Before we get going,
yeah.
I made life a lot easier.
There you go, Elton. Atta boy.
Get your own.
Now, God permit curveball.
Okay, most of you guys have seen the form, you have the form. The interesting thing is that the inventory process, the form you have been provided with, and the whole deal in the big book, everything has been already figured out. We are not going to add anything to this process except action. It works precisely the way it is. The end result of this proven inventory process is you will have the analyzed truth about you. You will be armed with the facts, and you will have the component you need to complete the rest of the step. Now, let's read what the book tells us in summary of the fourth step inventory. Go to page 70, line 23.
Page 70, line 23.
If we have been thorough about our personal inventory, we have written down a lot. We have listed and analyzed our resentments. We have begun to comprehend their futility and their fatality. We have commenced to see their terrible destructiveness. We have begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all men, even our enemies. For we look on them as sick people. We have listed the people we have hurt by our conduct, and we are willing to straighten out the past if we can. In this book, you will read again that faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves. We hope you are convinced now that God can remove whatever self-will that has blocked you off from Him. If you have already made a decision,
which is step three,
and an inventory of your grosser handicaps,
which is step four,
you have made a good beginning. That being so, you have swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about yourself.
By writing the fourth step inventory, the things that have been blocking us are in the process of being removed. We are now going to take step four and five in this class. We will be taking a mock fourth step in next week class. We suggest that over the next week you examine these inventories and discuss them with your sponsor. Then take step four with your sponsor, guidance and the direction from the big book. Or come back next week, well, I guess it'll be today, and we will take in depth look at step four. That way, you will be current in the classes as we move on from step four and five. For those of you who are going to take step four and five on the next few weeks, for your benefits, let's look at step five. Before we get into the big book, let's listen as Tom reads step five from the pamphlet, 1944.
Step number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs.
Let's take a look at these 6 points. Point number one.
There is nothing new in this step. There are many sound reasons for talking over our troubles out loud with others.
Point number two.
The Catholic already has this medium readily available to him in the confessional, but the Catholic is at a disadvantage if he thinks his familiarity with confession permits him to think his part of AA is thereby automatically taken care of. He must, in confession, seriously consider his problems in relation to his alcoholic thinking.
Point number three.
The non-Catholic has the way open to work this step by going to his minister, his doctor, or his friend.
Point number four.
Under this step, it is not even necessary to go to a priest or minister. Any understanding human being, friend or stranger, will serve the purpose.
Point number five.
The purpose and intent of this step is so plain and definite that it needs little explanation. The point is that we must do exactly what the fifth step says, sooner or later. We must not be in a rush to get this step off our chest. Consider it carefully and calmly, then get about it and do it.
Point number six.
Wrongs do not necessarily mean crime. It can be wrong thinking, selfishness, false pride, egotism, or any one of 100 such negative faults. Go to page 72, line 29, and here we have a warning that says we may not overcome drinking if we skip this vital step.
Page 72, line 29, chapter 6, into action.
If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep them to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but hung on to some of their worst items in stock. They only thought they'd lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they'd humbled themselves. But they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story.
Go to page 74, line 2. Here are some options on who is to hear our story. Also, a requirement that is a warning.
Page 74, line 2.
We think well before we choose the person or persons with whom to take this intimate and confidential step.
Skip a line.
Go to the properly appointed authority.
Next line.
Talk with someone ordained.
Skip 4 lines.
A closed-mouthed, understanding friend.
Same line.
Doctor or psychologist.
Next line.
One of our own family.
Skip 3 lines for a warning.
Such parts of our story we tell to someone who will understand, yet be unaffected.
Same line, a major requirement.
The rule is we must be hard on ourselves, but always considerate of others.
Next paragraph. Skip 1 line. The timeline says,
It may be one is so situated that there is no suitable person available. If that is so, this step may be postponed.
Required.
Only, however, if we hold ourselves in complete readiness to go through with it at the first opportunity.
Skip a line. More requirements.
It is important that he be able to keep a confidence, that he fully understands and approves of what we are doing, driving at.
Go to page 75, line 3, for another timeline.
Page 75, line 3.
When we decide who is to hear our story, we waste no time.
Here we have some directions.
We have a written inventory, and we are prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner what we are about to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand.
Next paragraph, more direction.
We pocket our pride and go to it. illuminating every twisted character, every dark cranny of the past.
Let's explore the timeline requirements and directions for after we completed step five. Skip to the last paragraph on the same page.
Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done.
Here we have the fifth step prayer.
We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know Him better.
Let's continue studying. Same line.
Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps, carefully reading the first five proposals.
Meaning to reread and study the book. Pages XX or 23 to page 75. Let's continue with the next line.
We ask if we have omitted anything, for we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand?
Step five leaves us with the spiritual principle of integrity. Let's review our progress so far. By looking at the spiritual equation of step one through five, self-honesty, step one, hope, step two, faith, step three, courage, step four, integrity, step five. In summary, the directions are very clear on why, when, and how to take step five, as are the timelines and requirements. This is what happens as a result of taking step five. The fifth step promise, same page, line 12.
Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look upon the world, we can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe.
This is the end of the second class. Next week or later today, class will cover a mock fourth step and move on to step 6, 7, 8, and 9. Homework for this class is read and discuss our sponsor, page 44 through 75. If you have any questions, comments, or points of discussion, talk with your sponsor or see one of us after the meeting.
Before we close this meeting, let's keep in line with the early AAs.
Oh, no? We'll do this. It's too many people. We'll do a prayer at the end of the 55 and at 7:30.
Okay, so we're done then.
See you guys at 1:40.
1:40.